Hey guys, awesome episode with a real live sex doctor. Enjoy, share it with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Times Square, New York City, Nutmeg Studio, episode 2 from Nutmeg Studio. We're so pumped to be here. We talked about it last episode, but we have a new home here at Nutmeg Studio. It is top of the line equipment, top of the line facility. They got bathrooms, they got coffee. They got soundproof walls and shit. A timer that looks like it's from the TV show Lost. They got it all. So we're super pumped to be here at Nutmeg Studio. If you need any type of audio-visual stuff, I mean, I've never seen a place like this. So you got to come and get involved with them. I want to get right into today's episode. I'll do a couple announcements. I'm coming across the country to do shows. I'm going to be at the Cellar Las Vegas, at the Rio, the 20th through 25th. Use CC Social to get cheaper tickets. Philly, the Punchline, the 27th to 29th. Atlanta, Laughing Skull Lounge, July 14th. Denver, Comedy Works, the 23rd of July. Charlotte, Comedy Zone, August 15th. And that's what I got so far. I'm very excited. Listen. This podcast keeps growing. It is our time of year. Shitty summer internship season. Some of you are sitting out there. You're looking at a wall. You're looking at a felt wall in an office you don't want to be at. And you're wondering, oh, man, what am I going to do with my years? Well, Papa JT is here. The king of brunch. The wizard of weddings. The sultan of swipe. The prince of promos. I'm here for you, baby. We had a new one last time. Something of holidays. Someone called me the Archbishop of ass play. That's me, okay? And you can find me. You guys send me those DMs. Are you listening? Oh, man. It feels like I'm out in a field. I'm bent on all fours. And you're taking a feather and you're just gently grazing from anus to shaft. Back and forth. Back and forth. To and fro. Here and there. That's where you can hear it. Hear that wind? I'm out in the fields. You come over with a gentle feather. A long feather. One of those really long ones. It almost looks comical how big the feather is. Storm rolling in. Time to get those nuts out. Pull them out. Drip, drip, drip. Water starts coming down. The feather's wet. But something's good about that. Then you take it right up and down. If you're a fan of this podcast, you're going to be a fan of Patreon. I love doing Patreon. We do bonus episodes every Sunday of the podcast. And I'm just jamming, just going from subject to subject. It's like it's kind of like a news and notes. Shelby, right?
It's like J Train's Sunday Thoughts.
Yes, a Sunday Thoughts. That's a good way to put it, Shelby. So go on patreon.com/JaredFried. $3 a month gets you a bonus podcast and blogs. $10 if you want personalized advice. I'm very excited about today's guest. We're gonna talk it out. I want to talk to this person because she got in touch with me, and I'm very excited to have her because she's a professional. She's a real expert. I always say, you guys send in your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Keep spreading the word. But you send your emails to some idiot calls himself the Sultan of Swipes, okay? I'm just giving perspective. This is a real, accredited, professional, going to be a doctor. And I'm very excited to have her here. And I'd like, this is the thing. Pants, when they don't fit, you got to make a change. And I just wanted to... I think this will be a fun episode because of your background, and this is exciting me. Rachel Hoffman, You're a social worker, and you are a private practice of human sexuality.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
This is very exciting.
It's very exciting for me, too.
We've never had... You're not a doctor yet. You're going to be a doctor.
Yeah, within a year, hopefully.
Okay. But you're a professional. You
I
give
am.
People real... And what do you... What is? Explain what you do to the audience.
So people come in with... problems related to sexuality,
okay.
like sexual dysfunctions, intimacy issues with a partner, communication problems.
Is it always with a partner that they come
no,
to you?
No, no, no. A lot of times it's individuals coming in with maybe they had issues in the past with sexuality. Maybe
yeah.
it's a reason they broke up with a partner and they're coming in and they really want to talk about it before starting a new relationship.
Well, to kind of connect last episode to this one, because we taped two in a week, we just had an email about a guy who's on this crazy sex romp. He's got, you know, two women, two men. There's a whole orgy going on and his penis just doesn't work.
Right.
Like, is that a situation you've heard of before?
All the time. It sounds to me like some performance anxiety.
Yeah.
It also sounds like this is somebody who's probably watched porn in the past.
We did talk about that. We said too much porn.
Yeah. So it's I wouldn't say too much porn. It's when you relate your story to porn.
Explain that
for us. I think porn is great.
Okay. Relax,
porn,
Rachel.
Porn is awesome.
Okay. You think porn is a go? You don't think there's too much of it out there?
I don't think there's too much of it. I think it's when you watch porn, are you saying to yourself, this is what my sex needs to look like? That's the problem.
Okay, you think it should be more of an escape than a reality.
I think it's something that you can look at. It's like a fairy tale. It's like when you watch these movies and you're like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. But that's
sure.
not necessarily your life.
Yeah.
So you have to make the separation between what you're watching and what your life is going to look like.
Okay. And you think this guy basically thought, I'm in the porn now.
Yeah.
And
yep.
he did, got anxiety.
And then he got anxiety. I have to perform that way. I have to perform like this master, you know, porn.
Yeah, you're person. Trying to. You can play basketball, but you ain't going to dunk like LeBron.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is interesting.
You got to make the distinction.
So someone comes to you and they say, what's the biggest problem that people have these days? Because you have a book out. And
yeah.
Listen, people out there, if you want to get involved with Rachel Hoffman, I'm very excited she's here. At SexDocHoff with two F's. On Twitter and Instagram?
Yep, both.
And you have a book out called Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find that on Amazon,
yep.
Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World. What is the most frequent problem you come into contact with?
Low intimacy, low desire.
What does that mean?
So someone comes in and says, I don't want to have sex with my partner, or I don't feel
How
the
do
sex
you,
drive.
But well, then why be together? Do you ever look at them and go, just break the fuck up?
Depends.
What do you mean?
I mean, it depends I think it's stemming from. So sometimes what I think happens when a couple's been together for a long time,
this
typically happens. It also happens with hormonal changes. So first I'll obviously say go to get your hormones tested, see
okay.
if there's like a low testosterone level or something.
Low T.
Low T.
Okay. I've seen the commercials during
exactly.
golf.
Low T.
Yeah.
Important. But second of all, I always say
this
to them.
This is men you're talking to, or
no,
just
no, both.
Men and women? Okay.
Totally both. I ask them, what does your partner do that turns you on? And they can't answer the question. So that's where I kind of start from. If you don't know what your partner does that turns you on, you're not going to want to have sex with them.
Sure. I mean, I guess.
Right?
This is a simple question that I've really never thought of.
Yeah, because when you're starting a relationship, it's like physical, like I want you, I need you right this second.
Sure.
Long term, that's not going to be the case necessarily.
Okay.
It's not going to be just like I walk into the house, I see my partner of 40 years and I want to attack them.
Interesting. Do you think in the beginning of the relationship, it could be anyone that turns you on and then you get more specific as time goes on?
I think that in the beginning, it's just there's like some sort of like connection and chemistry. You know, you just want to, I don't know, it's like this physical pull to the person, right?
Yeah.
And like, I want that release. And then after some time, it becomes, for example, I tell someone like, if your partner does the chores, if your partner does the dishes, are you attracted to them? And they're like, you know, I have never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do something about it. Go up and like, touch them.
Touch them. Get, when you feel it in you, this should be more you-driven is kind of what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, like, you know, are you hearing weird stories? Is there people that come in and, like, a lot of times we have a lot of people that write in. And I'm like, referencing old emails because, you know, now we got you here. This is a free session.
Yeah, free session.
You're welcome, audience. You got Dr. Hoffman for free. And you can go follow her at SexDocHoff and get the book, Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World. No, we have people that are like, well, I want to do this. I want to get freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, but I don't want to bring it up.
That's crazy. Because typically, I would say both partners probably have fantasies and desires.
Okay.
So I'll always say, have a conversation with your partner. Let's say, let's go out and talk about our fantasies.
Okay. That's the goal of the going out.
Yeah. Let's go get drunk and talk about our fantasies. Or like
things you've thought of.
Things you've thought of. What type of porn do you watch? Bringing back the porn.
But that is one of those things that like it's tough for people to bring up.
It is really hard. But you have to remember that most likely your partner has also thought of something.
Well, that's what usually happens. I mean, we've all been there. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Missionary. You know, and then you end up in the same thing.
Right, it's true. And even if that crazy thought is, okay, like, I want to have a threesome one day, fine, at least it's something, but then it gives you the support of being able to say, well, I've thought of, you know, getting spanked or whatever it is.
Well, this is the thing. Like, with a guy, I'm sure every guy at some point has thought of a threesome. How do you, you know, let's say you're 4 years in with a girl and you say, I've been thinking of threesomes, then she looks at you and goes, you're thinking of other women?
Yeah, but that's a misconception of threesomes.
What's the misconception on threesomes?
I mean, the threesome misconception is just because you want someone to join the equation doesn't mean that initial partner is any less important to you. It's just a fun way to spruce up a relationship.
Yeah.
Totally support that as well.
Wow.
But it's the communication. It's the foundation. If the relationship is super, super healthy, then I think that's when you could add in all these crazy wild stuff. If the relationship sucks and you're like, we're going to spruce it up by adding all this stuff, that's not going to help the relationship. It's like the baby fairy tale. Like, our relationship sucks. Let's like throw a baby into the mix
sure.
and it'll all be better. It's not going to help.
And people do that with sex sometimes where they're like, okay, maybe, you know, we're not okay, but this thing will make it okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I feel like I have so many questions for you, and I wish we could, like, I wish there were people on the line to call in. Maybe we should have a call-in thing. What is, you know, you wrote the book, Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World. What with dating and social media, what have you found to be the thing that this book would teach people?
So this is what I'm doing my dissertation on right now. Technology is a huge problem with relationships.
What's the biggest problem?
So,
I mean, I'm on social media all day long.
Yeah, that's,
I answer everybody over DM. Like, when people write me, I do think I think I'm getting to the point where it's becoming too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I do send a thank you to people that DM me, and I do respond. And if I see 10 DMs, it does hang in my mind where I feel like I have to, you know, some people with their email, they're like, I have to have a zero mm-hmm. email. I do have to have a zero DM count, at least with a heart.
Yeah.
And then, like,
But what's too much? That's the problem. It's if you're on it all day, every day, are you ever able to turn yourself off?
Well, this is the other thing. Like, I'll go out, you know, if I'm as a single guy,
mm-hmm.
go out to a bar and I'm end up at the bar on my phone.
Yep.
And I'll look at myself and I'll be like, I've been here for an hour and I haven't looked up. I haven't talked to anybody here. I'm here for the weird.
Yep.
And now I'm not on the weird because I'm on my phone.
Could be an attractive person standing next to you. You would never know because you're just staring down.
And never say anything.
And never say anything, right.
And because also we've kind of been desensitized, and we see this with the apps,
to
talking to real people and mm-hmm. and just introducing ourselves. It is so much easier to be like, hey, what's up, over an app than it is in person.
Yep, that's one of the things I talk about. People are rather go home, sit in sweatpants, eat a bucket of chicken or whatever, and be on their swipe, as opposed to going to force themselves to go out and communicate in person. The problem is, if you're so used to talking through messaging, what happens then when you meet up with the person? You're so nervous, it's trouble communicating, because we're learning to communicate through text.
But also, you know, to defend the sit on the couch swiping people, most of us, you can do that alone easier. You know, mm-hmm. like, you know, where you, like, it's easy, if you're alone, it's the choice between, do I go out and drink alone at a bar and hope that there's one other person that went out alone, one other loser?
Right.
Or do I go sit at home and at least I'm doing something that I know the person on the other end is alone?
Right. So I don't think apps are a problem at all. I think they're great.
Yeah.
I think it's when you depend on the apps it becomes a problem. So if you're finding yourself going out with a group of friends or going out with one buddy and then you're on the app when you're out and you're not engaging in talking to other people or not going out with friends, not having a good time because you're like, I'd rather just sit home and swipe or be on social media in my home, that's when it becomes the problem. It should be a second means to finding someone.
You got to. Do you have strategies to help people? Like, mm-hmm. Well, let's say there's someone out there right now that's connecting. They're like, mm-hmm. I'm on the apps too much. I'm at a bar on the app, which is like crazy. That's like going to a bar at a bar.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's insane.
But we're all doing it. So like,
it's
no one's judging. So how do you learn yourself out of that?
So I always say it's not about going to a bar with the intention of meeting someone.
Okay.
And I think what you're talking about with the brunches, it's about just putting yourself out there in general.
Mm.
Going to my favorite sports game. Go to sports games.
Yeah.
You could always chat up with someone at a sports game.
It's right now. It's the NBA basketball, yep. Hockey. Playoffs.
Everyone's watching something or chatting about something. So go out, talk to someone about something. Go with your friends out to a bar to like watch the game.
Even if a girl came out to me, if I was out watching the game,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, you know, I'm a sports fan, but I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
If a girl came up to me and was like, I just wanted to go out and this was fun to go out, I'd be like, that's a fun person.
Exactly.
Even not knowing nothing about basketball or hockey,
who cares?
I would still be like, oh, this is a person that likes doing fun things.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So I'm not saying you're going out with the intention, okay, I'm not going to be on an app. Instead, I'm going to go to a bar and chat with someone at a bar. It's not that. It's just put yourself out there in general, and then you could be on the apps also. It's just you're not 100% dependent on them.
You got to play in traffic to get hit. Now, to bring the sexuality into this, how does the sexuality work with, do you feel like people are on these apps so that they can tell someone what they're into?
I don't think it's so they could tell someone. I think it's people are nervous to talk in person about what they're into in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so they always prefer to hide behind text, right?
Yeah,
so
of course.
Even if they're dating someone and they're off the apps and they're dating someone, they'd prefer to text someone and say, have you ever thought about doing this, as opposed to communicating in person about it, because you're hiding behind
it. Of course. Is that a bad thing?
It's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it should spark the conversation. Let's talk about this
in
later.
Person. Let's talk about it later.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this.
Exactly.
At least one can get you to the next.
Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with that.
What is the weirdest thing that someone's come to you with? I gotta ask.
It's just so funny because to me...
And people must ask this stuff
all the time.
Yeah.
Nothing to me honestly sounds weird. There'll be
nothing sounds weird to
you. There'll clients come in and say, I'm about to tell you the weirdest thing you've heard. And they say it to me and I just have no reaction. And they're like, how do you have no reaction to this? I'm like, because the person before you said equally, I don't even call it weird, just equally the craziest thing that,
this
you know,
is what they like.
This is what they like. So who cares? I mean, no one said anything that's, I'm like mind blown with, honestly.
I mean, it's just
crazy fantasies. I kind of get it.
I'm the Rosa Parks of ass play on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I've referred to myself.
Yeah, ass play's great.
And I've been a vocal proponent of a finger in the butt during a BJ.
I think that's awesome.
You think it's awesome?
Yeah.
Thank you. High fives all around. We did it. Now, like, something like that, because now we're in this new age of, like, the butt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about butt stuff. Like, what, for a man that's worried about getting into that, what would you say to them?
I mean,
it came to me. I was just more like, yeah, let's see what that happens.
And you enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's bacon on a cheeseburger.
That's a great way to put it. What I don't understand is if a blowjob is that enjoyable and a finger in the butt makes it that much better, why are people so afraid of it?
Well, it's I know. Am I gay?
That is so stupid.
It's stupid. But you know I mean, can you encourage guys out there that are
do it?
What about women? What about women that are like, I don't want a poop finger?
I know. Everyone asks about the poop finger.
Everyone asks about the poop finger? I thought I was being original here with my new thing. Poop finger was going to be my next hat. What do you
people
say
are
to women?
So nervous about the poop. I mean, just wipe really well. You'll be fine.
Also, go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
we've all had, like, a mess.
It's going to be pleasurable. Just try it. And if it's not, then don't do it again. But it's just like anything else to try. If you could find greater pleasure with something in the butt, then do it.
Just do it. Okay. Now, what is the sexual thing that people are steering away from that you encourage them to do? Like, is there something that you could, because this is the hardest part. You're dating someone, you've gotten into your routine, and they're like, and honestly, they look at each other, they go, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And both of you are game, but you're like, I don't even know what the thing would be.
Perfect question.
Yeah.
Perfect question. This is what I do in therapy all the time. So it's called sensate therapy. This is what sex therapists are trained to do.
Okay.
So it's how to figure out what you like to do.
Hold on. Sensate therapy. Let's get some sensei music going on here. And this is, so you're talking to someone and you're like, what's the thing that can get us to a different place sexually.
It's huge.
And so, here comes Sensei Hoffman.
I'm going to give you the very, very brief version.
Okay.
And don't
what do you mean brief version? Why?
So it's 8 sessions work. But I'm going to tell you what I do initially, and I'm going to break it down very easily.
You
don't
say,
look it up.
Take your finger, put it in his butt.
Pretty much. You start one partner to the other partner for at least 20 minutes, working down from head to toe. At least 20 minutes. People rush foreplay. So this is to teach them how to slow down.
Okay.
Head to toe, 20
minutes. We were just
talking
about foreplay last episode. And
it's the best.
Concentrate. I'm a sides guy. That's what I always say. I'd rather the foreplay than, you know, the sides than the main course.
It's people forget about foreplay. They
yeah.
like rush to the end. It's
I'd
ridiculous.
Rather a wedding of all cocktail hour food.
I'm right there with you.
Than a wedding of main courses. So this is
so
kind
nice.
Of the
it's
similar
like
thing.
You're teasing your partner from head to toe.
Mm.
And at the end, you're telling your partner, you know, how which spots were you surprised that you liked?
Okay.
Which spots did you want more of?
So you're
like
talking
pressure?
Head to toe. You're
head
saying
to toe. Oh, and you cannot touch the genital regions.
So off limits.
Off limits, breast, penis, vagina, all of that's off limits.
Breast count.
Yeah, you can't
okay.
touch them.
No breasts, no penis.
No vagina.
No vagina.
Mm-hmm.
No butt.
No butt.
Okay.
Stay away.
So you have to touch everything else.
And you're trying to arouse your partner without touching those areas. And people come in the next session mind blown.
Really? This because this to me, this seems like so simple that it wouldn't work.
Right?
Because I'd be
simple.
Like, you know, kiss my, what, a finger? Like, that's what you're...
No. So you think about it. Like, you have the neck, you have the ear,
yeah.
you have all these erogenous zones
sure.
that people don't forget about. Completely
they just go...
About.
Get the penis in
yep.
me, and we're
yeah.
fucking, let's do this.
And you forget that sex is so much more than this, like, end result of penis-vagina action. It's,
yeah.
It's way more than that. It's the tease. It's getting your partner lubricated and aroused. It's way more
sure.
that than the end. People are focused on the orgasm.
So this is a good first step for any couple
any
or
couple,
anybody that's
anyone.
Like...
You could do it on yourself, too. You could.
How do you do it on yourself?
You just try to, like,
can you imagine? Can you imagine someone walks in on you, and I'm just, like, touching my elbow with a huge erection? Just like, oh.
I can imagine.
I got an elbow chubby. No, I mean.
You might.
I guess you might. I don't know. I've never thought of it in that way. I mean, would you say it to someone, like, let's say someone meets someone out at a bar, first hookup.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily first hookup.
No, not to do 20 minutes on their whole body?
Not
like, that
20
might be a...
minutes, but like definitely focus more on the foreplay
sure.
because that's someone who the next day will be like, wow, I'm going to remember this person.
Now, what if there's someone out there, a guy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just giving scenarios
yeah,
just because
yeah.
I want to like, we have a professional in here.
Helping the people.
Rachel Hoffman at SexDocHoff on Twitter and Instagram. The book, go buy it, okay? I don't just put people on here that email me once. I go in and I read their shit. It's a good book. Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World on Amazon. What if there's a good... Like, have you ever had a couple come in where the guy's like, I just hate her blowjobs?
Yeah.
And what do you
and
say?
And I will start the same way with the Sensate stuff because she honestly probably... He's focused so much on the blowjob itself.
Sure.
As opposed to if he's so aroused, by the time she gets to the blowjob, it's going to be like a few seconds.
It'll
like,
be fine. And you think that she's like...
It's like the blowjob is the act. Everyone's
yeah.
so obsessed with like, what did you do last night? Did you get a blowjob? Did you get... What about like everything that came before that? Because to me, that's so much more like sensual and arousing.
Sure. And it was like, how did you get to blowjob?
Yeah. How did you get to blowjob?
It's
what?
The trip, not the destination.
Thank you. Exactly.
And I just so... Like, what if a girl... Like, do you have it the other way? A woman comes in and she goes, he goes down on me and it's awful.
I mean, did you tell... Right. And I always say to her, well, did you talk to him about what you liked? Did you say to him... She probably like also like moaned. And so I'll probably do it the same way the next time.
Yeah. I always talk about like how we should all be like sonars, like for orgasms. Like if there's not feeling good, you don't make a noise. When it feels good, make a fucking noise. Let people know.
I know. It's good communication.
Yeah. This is...
It's tough though. I get it. It's really hard.
Tough. It's easier advice to give than
of
it
course,
is to receive.
Of course. And you have to be comfortable. You don't want to necessarily like make your shame your partner or tell them you're doing a bad job.
Mm.
But it's more so, you know, maybe move their head a little. I don't know.
Let's do some emails. I'm very excited that
yeah,
you're here.
Me too.
This is very interesting to me.
Thank
because
you.
This is perfect. This is PB&J. Good compliment to this podcast and what we do here. We have a sponsor on this podcast. I'm very excited about our new sponsor. Okay. And they are like, you know, they're in. They've bought into the J Train thing. okay? Ghost tequila. Do you like tequila? You drink tequila?
Whiskey, but tequila's cool,
you drink
too.
Drink whiskey? I like a spicy tequila.
That spicy tequila is great.
And it's great because you know why spicy tequila is better than just regular, any old tequila? You can have it on the rocks, and it slows you down. You get that little heat on your tongue. And it's not, this ghost tequila isn't so much heat that you can't do it. It's got just the right amount. It's got ghost peppers in it. And it's 100% agave azul blanco and a splash of ghost pepper designed to bring some spiciness into the people's night. I had it as a Bloody Mary. And I might just go around with a camelback of Bloody Mary ghost tequila for the rest of the summer.
Sounds amazing. It's an aphrodisiac, too, so that's awesome.
Tequila is?
The spicy.
Really?
Yep.
Spicy's an aphrodisiac?
Yeah, especially those peppers.
Mm. Oh, my God. So we're going to read our spicy email of the week. You can hear the flames going off in the background. But if you, right now, listeners of J-Train, can get $5 off by going to ghosttequila.com, clicking buy online top right corner, and clicking on the Old Town Tequila button. Okay? You're going to use promo code GHOST5. Ghost number 5. Ghost 5. That's promo GHOST5 at ghosttequila.com. Buy online Old Town Tequila. Then you're in. Okay? That's because there's a lot of steps because certain states, you might have some issues getting it sent to you. But we want people to go and get involved with Ghost Tequila. Cool bottle. Cool look. You got a story to tell. If you're a guy out there, you're a girl out there. Oh, this is the tequila that I know. People like having the thing that no one knows about. Now you get to serve up a new tequila. Let's do the spicy email of the week. And here's the title. This is spicy.
Can't wait.
I'm secretly hooking up with my brother's best friend. But wait, there's more. Do you deal with these situations?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I love it.
What do you mean? How someone comes to you alone, they come to you and they say, I've been cheating on so-and-so.
Oh, my God, all the time.
Why do people cheat?
Oh, my God. There's so many reasons. I honestly, it's so many reasons. It could be that they're not happy. Could be that they're insecure. I mean, I could list like 100 reasons. Mm. That's the first thing I find out is why are you cheating?
Why are you cheating?
Yeah.
If you, what up, Jew Train? I'm just going to cut straight to the point here. I'm hooking up with my little brother's best friend. Mm. Oh, it's a lady email. I got someone, let's play the lady email. Someone was like, why do you play the man music and not the female music? This is a lady email. Oh, I get, it's the other way around. No, but you're right. That's the right, I thought the other, we'll play the dude email after this. They were upset. They were like, you always play the lady email. But you get all lady emails. I was like, because when we first started the podcast, it was all dude emails.
Right.
So it was a joke that we play the chick email music. And now we have both male and female music. We'll play both. That's the chick dude email.
Ooh, yeah. A dude email.
We'll play that when we get it. But this is a chick email. It's a lady. I'm hooking up with my little brother's best friend. No one knows, and that's not even the most fucked part of this situation. This has been going on for weeks, and he has yet to fuck me, but loves to finger bang me and choke me into unconsciousness, which is fine because I'm into it, but I want more. Hmm. Into unconsciousness?
Yeah.
You've heard of this?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who like it. It's like part of BDSM, but the problem is that I don't know if they're aware of the safety part of it. So
what do you mean the safety part?
Help
the people now. What do we?
No. I was saying it's really scary because do they know really how to bring her back? How long is she unconscious for?
Yeah.
Like it's very terrifying. I don't know how young these people are, but a lot of people consider this like also a game to play to kind of like.
And this is how people die from asphyxiation.
Yeah, it's really scary. So what I would immediately suggest to these people is to get advice, go to a professional, and I know I'm right here, but actually go to a professional in person because there's a lot of rules when it comes to this type of play.
Yeah.
And so you really have to be aware of, you know, how you're doing it, be safe with each other, and also communicate with each other. Not one of you can be in the know. Both of you have to be in the know because she's going to be unconscious.
Well, this is great advice. This is like you're going to go on the roller coaster ride. You got to make sure you're wearing the seatbelt.
Exactly.
And somebody's putting you into the chair the right way, and they should go to the professional.
Exactly. Like, I'm not saying don't do it, but you have to be safe.
He has yet to fuck me, but loves to finger blast me and choke me into unconsciousness, which is fine because I'm into it, but I want more. I keep trying to touch him and stuff, but he won't let me. I mean, the dude won't even let me blow him. Is he just a psychopath who likes choking girls? We're both very physically attractive, and the chemistry between us is fucking insane. But this feels like a one-way street where I get choked and then he goes to bed. What's my move, Jared? Help. This is a great email
for
you.
It's a really good email. It sounds like that's his fantasy. It sounds like his fantasy, he gets off by choking you, and so he's done. Like, that's his thing. So,
is he coming?
She
doesn't say, but like, you heard of, do you think he just goes off and masturbates while she's passed out?
It could be that's his thing. That's his fantasy. He chokes her. He gets turned on by that, and then finishes, masturbates, and then that's over. So she has to talk to him, because if she's not getting pleasure out of this, like, she enjoys, it says, the choking.
Yeah.
But is she finishing? Is she done? Like, she says the fingering's good, but she wants to be fucked. So she needs to talk to him.
Well, the idea that, like, well, and then back, I'm kind of like, you know, the thing that speaks to me is his best friend doesn't know that he's having... Mm-hmm. There are things guys do, and like... Besides the sex, I think that's great advice. I think you're totally on point.
Mm-hmm.
Are you coming? Go talk to him. Be like, I'm not coming. I'm enjoying what we're doing, but I feel like there's another level of what we could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that plays heavy to me is that here's a guy that is afraid. What guys will do a lot of times with girls is they'll be like, I'll go this far and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for outs.
Yeah.
I think he's thinking, well, I haven't fucked her yet, so if my friend finds out, then I can be like, no, we've only made out.
Right.
I've only choked her to death.
Yeah.
You know, like, what a weird thing. But there's a piece of me that understands that. Like, mm-hmm. this is kind of what we do when guys are like, you know, when guys date you but don't label the relationship. They'll be like, oh, well, we never had a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes...
The way out.
Yeah, they have the way out. They're the small lettering in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, because the brother doesn't know, you've allowed for fine writing in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say to her, you got to work this out to talk to the brother. Let the brother know.
I bet you if they talk to the brother, it's ending, because I think part of the appeal to them is the secrecy part of it.
Knowing that they choke, that there's a choking going on.
Behind closed doors and nobody knows.
They like the wrongness of it. I understand that. But
do it.
The only way this moves to the next level is for the brother to find out, I think.
Does she want it to? I feel like she just wants to be fucked. I don't know if she like wants it to.
Yeah, but
like,
he's never gonna fuck unless he feels comfortable knowing that the brother's okay with it.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
He won't fuck you until the brother gives the go fuck my sister. Which that's a tough listen, we're not saying it can't be climbed. People have peaked Everest, but we're gonna say it's tough.
It's gonna be tough.
You might need a Sherpa. Jay Sherpa here, trying to lead you through, but I'm not saying again, advice easier to give than to take.
Totally.
But that's our spicy email of the week.
I love it.
Thank you, Ghost Tequila. Go to ghosttequila.com, ghosttequila.com, ghosttequila.com. Promo code GHOST5. So you go to ghosttequila.com, buy online, then Old Town Tequila button. Use GHOST5 for $5 off. Hey, support Ghost Tequila because they support this podcast. They keep the coal going into the J train. There we go. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Rachel Hoffman at SexDocHoff. Go follow, go support, go get the book, Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World. It's such a good time for this. And they also, like, does it feel like there's a new sexual revolution going on?
Yep.
How would you describe that?
Well, I think people are more open to talking about sex in general,
yeah.
especially because now what's going on in the media and in politics and everything. Everyone wants to be talking about sex. So I think it
happens. Politics?
Well, the whole, like, Me Too.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Like, yeah, we don't have to get into it.
Yeah.
But
Trump's out here fucking.
Exactly. So, like, now we can talk about it.
Sure.
So it's great because people are vocalizing now, oh, my sex has been bad. I finally now can say something about it.
Okay. And this is, like women saying, fuck it.
Yeah.
Basically.
We're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk
about it. Sex has been painful for me. I haven't said anything now. I'm going to say something. So.
Do you have older couples? Like, what's the...
Oh, I have a range. I start at 18. I have an 18-year-old client, and I have a 70-year-old couple.
The 70-year-old couple, how does that go down?
They're awesome.
They're awesome.
They just want to...
They want to fuck.
Yeah. They're amazing. amazing. So into each other. They want to try new things. They want to bring in toys.
But what brought them in on their how did they get? They're like, get the walkers. We're going on
well,
Dr.
Like,
Hoffman.
He's like the new 50. They like, look awesome.
They look great.
They look awesome. They're like, we don't feel like we need to stop our sex life. And why not now? Why not spice
it
up?
If they're so great together, they were just like, let's bring in a third party to like let us know what's out there?
Yeah, they just wanted to openly talk about it. They're retired. They're like, also, they go away for like spurts of time and they're like, sure. We want to bring toys. We want to be adventurous. What can we bring? And
how do we pack it?
What do we buy? They also like don't know how to like use social media and the internet necessarily, like find cool toys. So they're like, what do we do?
They seem like the coolest
they're
people.
Awesome.
And I'm so happy they're not my grandparents.
I
want to be friends with them, but I don't want them to be my family because they like then they're at dinner like, you won't believe the new rabbit we bought. And you're like, Grandma, what the fuck are you talking about?
I hope you're talking
about a real rabbit. This is how do I deal? Are you in a relationship? Are you single?
I'm single.
How? This has to be a weird thing to be single with.
It's. I love it because for me, when I date someone, I tell them what I do. It's a huge sign how they respond to me. Like if they say to me, oh, so you're good at sex, I'll be like, yes, but that has nothing to do with my job. And it kind of senses like, you know, like a little like immaturity. If they're like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, tell me about your client. I'm like,
sure.
So it's a maturity screening process.
Ah, that's interesting. And I like that because a lot of women write in like, how do I know if this guy's right?
Exactly.
Whatever. These are things you should be doing. How do people respond to my job? How do people respond to like my hobbies or different conversations? But like, you have to have guys that are like, drooling, they meet you and they're like, you do this, now anything goes?
Yeah, they just don't understand what it means. So they're like, does that mean you like to experiment with a million different things? Like, again, yes, but it has nothing to do with like my job. It's not why I do what I do.
See, my assumption of dating someone with your background would be more that talking about things would be easier.
I hope so.
But
I would think so.
Like, I would think that since nothing has shocked, you know, nothing would come
nothing
as a shock
weird,
to
right.
you. That I could be like, oh, well, you know, that would open up the doors
that's
that
true.
Way.
That's definitely true.
Because you must have guys be like, well, I've been thinking about, like, it's like, I would think of it as like, oh, I'm a foot doctor. And then, for the rest of your life, anyone with feet issues, they're like,
pretty true.
They're like coming to you with their issues. Mm-hmm. I would assume that these guys you date, they
turn into
clients at a certain point.
I mean, somewhat, but I think exactly what you said. It's like the openness. We could talk about anything. We could talk about anything sex-related. I'm pretty vocal about what I would like. And
have you ever had a weird date where someone says something to you that you're like, I can't believe this person felt he had to tell me this now?
Not necessarily, really. I mean, I can't think of anything that's been so weird, but maybe it's because nothing sounds weird to me.
Sure. And what was your last relationship?
It ended a year ago. It was for 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And how did it end? What?
It was a mutual ending. Honestly, like, I have nothing really bad to say, but what I will say is that if you're not happy with what you're doing in life and not feeling stable, you shouldn't be in a relationship.
There's something better out there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do some more emails. How do I deal with an Instagram model without becoming a doormat? This is a dude writing it.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. A dude email.
Hello, Papa JT. I'll cut right to the chase. I graduated last year from a very nice private university in Southeast, and I now live a couple hours from school. This year, I pretty well know a pretty well-known Instagram model transferred in. So he just graduated last year, and then this person's transferred into his school.
Okay.
She put up a story saying she wanted a Coachella buddy, and I jokingly, not jokingly, submitted an application. Made it funny and everything. Shockingly, she replied, and we got to chatting. We have the connection point of going to the same school, so it was easy to keep things moving, and she even gave me her number. Well, we didn't end up going, shocker, but things aren't bad in any way. We just don't talk as much as I don't want to pester her, and I think she was seeing someone, but I'm not sure if that's the case anymore. I'm moving to Las Vegas next month, and she often flies out to the West Coast for shoots. I'd love to go to a festival with her or just even grab a drink to get to know her better. I have a fine rapport with her, but I'd like to build on it. My question is this. How do I ask this girl to spend some time with me without losing my dignity by saying something like, oh my God, I'll pay for your flight ticket, hotel, etc., while also being respectful towards her and the fact that she may be still seeing another guy? If she isn't, great. If she is, then I'd like to still be able to gracefully bow out. I'm waiting for the dude, give it up, and I would if she wasn't actually the most attractive person I've ever seen. I figured it'd swing to hit it out of the stadium or strike out horribly. So what do we think?
People are also really so scared of rejection.
Yeah.
I mean, he also, like, doesn't know this girl so well. So I understand it's like an ego thing sometimes.
Sure.
But, okay, there's two things. One, I think he says he's been chatting with her casually.
The door's open.
The door's open.
Yeah.
Keep chatting casually and bring up a topic that both of you have kind of chatted about in the past, whether it's like a music festival. It sounds mm-hmm. like she's into music festivals. I would start with that topic and then say, like, let's grab a drink. Like, I would love to hear more about it if something, like, comes up.
Yeah.
Like, casual.
Yeah. I think the whole idea, like, you're putting this person on a pedestal because of whatever following
yeah,
she has,
yeah.
which is totally fine. I get it. You're bringing up Vegas because you're like, oh, she flies out there all the time. What I'll say to you is this says you're making this into way more than it has to
Agreed.
Be. He has that. You've started talking
it's
to
open.
Her and she's responded. Like, I have people that DM me all the time and then I write back, thank you. And then they'll be like, what are you doing tonight? And I'll just write back nothing because I'm like, this is the end of where I go. And I'm appreciative. And I've had people write me on Instagram. They go, hey, we should get a drink sometime. And I'll write back. I'm happy you like my stuff. I'm very flattered. I hope you can come to a show, but I don't meet people this way. So that's like an easy
yeah.
way. And she has written that to other people too. So there's a reason she keeps going right. along. We're not saying it's because she's like, I got to fuck this
rando
loser. She's saying.
No, she's chatting.
She's in. Yeah. She's, you know, living this reality. So what I would say to you is you... These conversations, whether it's happening on a dating app or Instagram DM, and these idle, hovering conversations that you're having, because right now it feels like they're just helicoptering mm-hmm. above. You need to land the helicopter on a plant. So that means putting yourself out there to say, hey, and forgetting that she has whatever many following and whatever it is. And
this other guy, too.
And this other guy, because that other guy's not your responsibility.
No.
Your responsibility is, hey, I'm having a fun time talking to you, and I would like to see if you're going to be around this weekend because I'm going to be in town, would love to get a drink.
Yep.
And make it so easy that the only answer could be no.
Yep.
If you make it like, well, maybe I'll be around in 2 weeks, and what does your 2 weeks look like then?
Once it gets complicated, then it's
make it
it's
so
out.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the easy way is... You said that she's in the school that you used to go to. Maybe you're going back this fall for a game. Maybe you're like going, hey, I'm going to Vegas next week. I don't know how we work this out, but I know this is crazy. You can even also admitting to the reality mm-hmm. and saying, hey, I know this is kind of a crazy thing and I messaged you because of a Coachella festival, but I'd really like to get a drink with you sometime. I'll be in Vegas on these dates. I'll be in this town 2 hours away on these dates. If those match up, great. If they don't, let me know another time you're traveling. Maybe we'll find a way. And she can either go yes or maybe.
I like the idea of connecting on something that you've already connected on, like the music thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she clearly is into Coachella or festivals or
sure.
some sort of thing. So,
but it might be weird for him to be like, hey, come to me.
Come spend
a 24-hour date with me.
No.
But, hey, you know, we've talked about Coachella yeah. and music. Let's go get a drink and talk
exactly.
about it more.
Exactly.
The minute you don't extend to real life is the minute that you're just doing it. It's your own insecurity. It's not that they haven't done anything. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I want to do two more emails because they're very good and great for Rachel to get into. So let's do them real quick and then we'll do some news. We also have a voicemail. We have a good voicemail. So let's do these two, a voicemail, and then we'll do a news story. Hey, nudes etiquette. So you talk about sending nudes?
Mm-hmm.
What are your feelings? What's your professional opinion?
I think sexting is awesome. But
you think sexting is awesome?
It really is. It's great for couples. The problem is the safety of your nudes.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. So if you trust the person you're sending them to, cool. But also that relationship could end. And then who knows where your nudes are going.
Well, I mean...
It's a huge problem, but...
I have nudes from women that I have...
You wouldn't do anything.
I would. I just think like
that's nice of you.
Well, I don't even think it's. I think that's like the regular. I think.
I would
like,
hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so too. Like I know there's this like whole revenge porn thing that's out there,
exactly,
which is very scary to me.
It's really scary.
But I do think that like, you know, like I've even like gone back to text conversations with exes, and I'm like, oh, it's in the you know they press that I in the corner. You're like, oh, I had those, and it's like. I'm always just like, oh, that's nice.
Right.
Good to see your tits again. You know, like, this is a nice run down memory lane. Hey, J-Train, I've run into a problem with my past couple Tinder matches. We get a good back and forth going before one. We exchange Snapchats and continue the back and forth. Well, the past 4 or 5 matches, they've sent me nudes out of the blue. This is from a dude. Uh-huh. I'm always appreciative, but I don't know how to respond. So the question is, how do you respond to a chick when she blows your Snapchat up with nudes while you're at family dinner? Thanks for your sage-like advice. Always appreciate it. What do you think? There's a time and a place for nudes.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But, like, I feel like – I mean, I don't know what his deal is with his family. But also then don't be opening Snapchat at the family dinner.
Yeah. Know that you're living in a minefield.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Go back to your room and then open your snaps.
Sure. And also you know the names of the people that send these things. I mean, do you think, like, single people should be sending nudes? Like, I think this for these girls, I can't believe they're sending them this quick.
I know. A lot of people do that. I've heard from a lot of my guy friends.
Yeah.
They're like, girls send it so fast. It's insane.
More quick than we even, like, think they're going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, guys, I mean, obviously, the well-known thing is the dick pic just gets sent out of nowhere.
Yep.
And we don't know what, you know, out of left field. Shelby's giving a thumbs up. He is. Yeah.
This was like... 4 years ago, I was, like, just trying Tinder for the first time.
Sure.
And I, like started chatting with a girl, went well, and she said, like, do you have Snapchat? I didn't even have it, so I downloaded it.
Of course. Look at that's how quick a guy will do something with a girl that's into him. I downloaded it.
That's what people do. So then did it immediately sent me a picture of her, like, out of the shower, towel open, and I was like, okay, that was, like, super fast. Then went back to the Tinder conversation, like, you know, a couple messages, and went like, hey, so do you want to, like, meet up, see a movie? And she went like, hey, I, like, barely know you yet. I was like, what? This, I was so confused.
Come on, you gotta meet my family first. I've only shown you my tits. Why would she do that? Why?
It's their own thing. They want to feel, you know,
loved.
They're going to get the compliments, and your body's amazing, and they... It's like this pleasure knowing that the other person is, like, jerking off to you.
Interesting. I've never thought of, like, a woman, like, you know, playing with herself to me. Mm. Like, that wouldn't, like, my first thought wouldn't be that with a dick pic.
Oh, I mean, if she's asking for it.
That's going to happen.
That's probably going to happen.
So what do you think, like, I mean, etiquette-wise... Is there an etiquette to nudes?
I mean, I just think that unless someone asks for it, don't send it.
Yeah, you gotta wait to be asked.
Wait to be asked. And if someone asks, then it's your own preference. I'm not one to say don't send it. But it's like I said before, just know that they're gonna have it saved.
Yeah.
And if you're okay with that, then you're okay with that. But there's nothing wrong with it.
All right. Let's do a voicemail. We're coming towards the end. Rachel Hoffman, this has been amazing.
This has been so fun.
I'm so pumped that you've been here. Sex Doc Hoff, we got to have you back because...
Love it.
So much information. At Sex Doc Hoff on Instagram. Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World. That's the book. Go buy it on Amazon. I'm sure it's going to help all you guys out. Shelby, let's play a voicemail.
Hey, Jared. I was listening to your last podcast and you were talking about the condom thing. So I'm in a predicament with this. I am a fan of the condom, safe sex, double birth control, that fun stuff. Girl I'm currently dating is allergic to latex.
Ooh.
And she's on birth control.
Okay.
We've had the issue recently where the condoms that she can use that are latex free don't really work for me. And
what do you mean no one? Okay.
Mostly we think due to the lube. Whenever I try to use it, it's an immediate erection killer. I'm 24, so it's not like there's an issue going on. Don't really watch that much porn, and she suggested going without the condom and pulling out. But then I have an issue getting two in my head about not pulling out in time, and that's also a boner killer. So just thought I'd throw that out there and see if you had any advice for when birth control preferences don't line up. All right. Thanks, Jared.
Great
Bye.
Phone call. Perfect
awesome,
guest
awesome.
For this phone call.
I love this guy.
What do, yeah, because he wants to be safe. I'm with him. I'm Mr. Condom.
I think that's awesome.
I mean, it's not even about the woman. I just want peace of mind.
I get it.
Condom and birth control put together, that is like my perfect
Complete
person.
Peace of mind.
I am completely happy with that sexual experience. Anytime that gets switched up, I just don't feel good about the hookup. So I can see eye to eye with this guy. He just wants to feel good about what's going on. The latex thing, do you have any advice?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he said before that they've tried the non-latex condoms. There's multiple non-latex condoms. Go to a pharmacy, and there's some that are thinner than others. So try to find the thinner non-latex condoms. Some of the ones that she might be purchasing are probably thicker, and so that might be uncomfortable. And then with the lube part, you can go into a store and see so many different types of lube.
I've never used lube. I've never.
I think it's great.
You almost said love. What's so great about lube? How do you use that? What is the?
I mean, there's so many different types of lubes. I just think it's really helpful, especially for women. It slides in way easier. A lot of women have issues in the beginning, get a little tight. And so it's helpful for the men to just slide in with a little bit of lube. Don't some people pour the bottle on. Don't put so much on it. Just a little.
Ketchup.
You're right. Yeah, just a little bit of lube. There's also.
And what do? You put the lube on top of the condom?
On top of the condom. I think that would also
help.
It
feels good for, it's natural, it's okay to go in there
that? Yeah, get the organic kind, totally great. I love Uber Lube. Shout out to
Uber Lube. Okay.
Great, it's great.
It also gets you to a place in time and they don't talk to you.
Exactly, it's really awesome. And then there's also warming lubricant if you prefer warming. So there's all different kinds. I really think that he'll be fine. I think it's probably, what it sounds like to me is that the non-latex condom they're getting is too thick.
He has to get more involved
with the buying
the purchase.
Yes.
It seems like he's like, okay, that's not my thing.
Exactly.
I'll do whatever. And then she brought back what she knew. And, this is more, you're more involved than you maybe want to be or have ever had to be.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like. She's the purchaser and it's not working for him.
And also, these are the things, to go to his grander question of, what do you do when the birth control methods don't line up? Do you have clients? Have you met with people that are like, I want to use... Like, I was with a girl once that would get mad at me for using condoms.
Yeah, because women don't like them either sometimes.
But it wasn't even about... It felt like it was more like, this keeps you with me more.
Right.
Like, you're not giving me the cum.
Yep.
And that was, somehow a part of, whether we were... with each other. And that made me feel very uncomfortable because then I was like, oh, I didn't even think of it that way. And now I'm thinking of it as...
No, it's true.
This is, now I'm kind of stuck in your game.
It's the conversation before, the exclusiveness. It's kind of saying... Oh, should we not use condoms? And then based on their reaction, if they're dating other people. Because if they're oh, no, we don't have to. I'm not seeing anyone else. Then you're oh, this is so serious.
Yeah. I mean.
No, it's true. The birth control thing, I think, again, goes back to communication. If you feel like it's a safety thing and they don't, why don't they? If it's because of they want to feel like the relationship is more serious, then you're going to have that talk with them anyway.
Don't put the I've given that advice to women where I'm like, see what happens when you bring that up and see how weird they get.
Yep.
But you have to, that's a two-folded piece of advice. It's, say you don't want to use condoms and then they go, oh, and then you go, well, is it because you're seeing other people? And you have to have that second question has to happen.
Absolutely.
It can't be one question and then, because then you're left at, why the fuck does she need this?
Yep.
And
exactly.
Now it's become, because in my mind, I was always like, if a girl didn't want to use condoms and was adamant about it, I'd be like, well, this person wants to have control over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not fair, but that's just how it felt to me.
It's just two things because is it about because you want to have the exclusiveness talk? That's one thing. But for me, it's not as pleasurable with condoms, which is fine. But of course, I would use them until, we're exclusive. But I would bring it up just asking more so for the safety part of it.
Sure.
I think it's, I mean, STIs are a huge problem. So, like, I would bring it up for more
STIs,
that.
STIs, what is that? Sexual
transmitted infections. That's what we used to say. We don't just say STDs anymore.
And like, you don't?
In, like, the academic world.
Why?
No.
What is
I don't know.
Pluto's not a planet?
we're just trained to say STIs now, okay. That they're more infections than diseases.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. So it's more, you know, less.
It's the medical thing.
I got you.
But yeah.
Shelby, let's do a couple news items, then we'll get the hell out of here.
This is kind of going along with the voicemail, sort of the first email. There's a new study out that suggests more condoms in porn will result in more condoms in real life. But there's some people out there because, you know, sex ed, not really as prevalent as people might think. And mm-hmm. How good is it even when they do teach it? If they put it in porn and... you know, say, oh, that could be a teaching tool that's also not good because, you know, the way people have sex in porn, the way it's portrayed. What do you think?
What is this article? Where is it from? Sex.com? Shelby's mind? So this is like a study? They're basically...
from the Sexual Wellness Center.
That's good.
Pornhub. They also have like a new thing about like... sexual wellness where people give like legit advice and that type mm-hmm. of thing.
So what do you think? It's nice that these it's hilarious that Pornhub is like, we need to give back to the community.
It's true. They yeah. just they opened up a whole new education platform.
Are you for that? Do you like that?
I think it's
like,
great. I think it's great just because like everyone goes to Pornhub.
Sure.
So if more people are going to it and getting some, you know, information on the side, yeah. why not? I think using condoms in porn is great because as much as we don't want to admit it, we basically, majority of us learn about sex from porn.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you're going to put condoms in porn, then you got to put them putting them on and taking them off. That's what I want to see. Because then you can show people that there's more going on. Like, just seeing the end of the condom, like, I'm like, all I go is, oh, there's a condom. That's kind of weird. But if I see them, I think an informational porn would be him going, do you have a condom? And then her being like, there's one, I think there's one in the drawer over there, but I think it's from, like, an old guy. And then you go, oh, that's cool. Then you get it, and then you put it, and then you show him putting it on, like, pinching the top. Like, yes. I want to see the whole thing.
That would totally help. Agree. I would love it.
Because there's so many things, and then I want to see when they get done, and then he runs to the bathroom, does that little run, and he's got to take it off, and then he goes to flush it, put it in the garbage, and he's like, I'm going to flush it down the toilet. And then they, like, put up a little pop-up from a plumber being like, don't. It makes my job harder. Like, wouldn't that be a more informational?
Because sex is like that. Sex yes. is a little bit messier than that. There's that awkward time where it's like you're craving the sex and you want to, like, put it in, but then, like, you have to have that time to, like, rip off the wrapper.
Sure.
And everyone's like, ugh, you know, but, like,
and then sometimes she tries to put it on, and then she'll half-ass it because she doesn't really know what to do, so she'll put it on halfway, and then I gotta, like, okay, I got this. Like, now I gotta be the man in the situation. Let me finish this off. And then, you know, you take it off, and then, like, you know, everyone going to the bathroom afterwards so they don't get STI or whatever.
They run. Or UTIs.
UTIs.
Yeah.
You know, I want that. I want a porn that reflects my experience.
Sounds good to me. I like it.
The one where the guy, there are no condoms, so the guy runs to the, puts on his clothes backwards and runs to the bodega.
Have you done that?
And of course.
You run to the bodega.
Yeah. And I look like, I go, give me some condoms. And I like, yell at this guy. And then he looks at me and goes, oh, come on. Okay, hold on. That'll be $30. And you're like, $30? And he's like, he just knows that he got you. Mm-hmm. You know. Any other stories, Shelby?
It's not so much a story, but it's kind of been the news lately. I kind of maybe want your thoughts on it. The term incel.
Incel.
Have you heard that before?
Is that an insect or is that what is going on?
It's kind of in the news just with like the frustrated male and.
Oh, I have heard about
kinda,
this.
Kind of.
So these are guys that they're in. Where's the name incel come from? What is that?
It stands for involuntary celibate. It was started like years ago, ironically, by like a woman who...
I think I used to call these people losers. involuntary celibate is such a horrible way to describe yourself. That like, who would come up with such a... That is a backwards way of being like, I haven't had sex in a while.
It's like it started.
Voluntary celibate.
Like it started by a woman.
I'm celibate,
and
but
like
I didn't mean it to happen. Yeah.
It was like a support group for like other women that they couldn't like get laid. And it was like kind of a good thing in a way, but over.
So these women were like supporting each other, saying, hey, we're all having this problem. We'd like to get laid, but we can't find it.
Yeah. But like a lot of things, co-opted by men who kind of turned it into not so nice of a thing. Now there's like all these groups, they call themselves incel, that, you know, their personalities are probably horrendous. They like blame
incel
women.
This is like, you know, last episode we had a story about a guy with a YouTube page where these people were like, he did a prank where he went out and put up a voice box and people could write what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he someone wrote a bomb threat and now he's arrested, whatever. But this is one of those things where it's like, incel seems like a name a nerd who loves Marvel would give to himself for not fucking. Like this is, like he's written on a shirt, mm-hmm. you know, the incel, you know, like get the incels, you know, like he is a Captain Incel.
It also, you know, like, it's also crazy because it sounds like there was a group and then a counter group. And everyone always wants to be like the counter group. Like you women created a group for this and now we're going to create a group for that.
Sure.
And then everyone like targets back with different groups. And like,
what's even more hilarious is that the male incels would never have sex with the female incels. Why don't they just fuck each other and get it over with? But that's how much ego these men have that have started these incel groups are, because they think they're above the women incels. That's the saddest part to me. And now they're like marching in the streets or some shit, Shelby. Are they marching? What a sad march that is. We are the incels. Go. The thing I've seen on the internet about them is that they're angry and they think it's women's fault that they're not being fucked.
That and like they're kind of.
They're kind of what? It seems the anger is really the thing that separates them from the women. This is such a different thing. Like, there's just these incels that are men are being like, how could these women not fuck us?
Right.
And the women are going, what can we do to get men to fuck us?
It doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. The blaming of the women, the whole thing is just ridiculous.
If I ever said the word incel, that's the moment they should be seeing you.
If you're calling yourself an incel,
yeah,
please come see me. Office on 25th between 6th and 7th.
Go and we're going to do some, you know, background checks. But, you know, listen. Rachel, thank you for coming on.
Of course. It was a pleasure.
This was so cool. I think you gave amazing perspective and advice. And everyone should go buy your book because it's a good. What a great beach read with mom and dad.
Totally.
Right? You guys, you know, get into it. You can talk. It is Rachel Hoffman at Sex Doc Hoff, okay? Mm-hmm. Sex Doc with a C, H-O-F-F. The book is called Dating and Mating in a Techno-Driven World. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Shelby, thank you for popping on.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. I'm Jared Freed, okay? We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. Keep sending them in. Keep telling your friends. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next episode. Boom.